There's something in the world today that we all encounter in different ways. Something called fake news. Okay. Now, if ever you look on social media or on YouTube or a whole array of different stuff, you may encounter fake news. So the first we're going to do this morning is we're going to do a bit of a fake news, a fake or real news quiz. Okay. So what's this going to require? Is you have to all Google real news, fake news.
But just not by that much that it would affect like finding landmarks or like sat navs.
It's because we're moving. My iPad fell over. Look at that. Thank you very much. Okay. And somebody from the. Actually, because you're here now, why do you think it's real?
I don't know.
Yeah, I just want to cry.
Okay, great. And you'll be pleased to know it's real news. Well done. It is real news. If you've got an issue with it, take it up with the BBC, not with me. Okay, next one, a couple more. Over real side. Okay, always move. We've got a mover. That's quite an even split, actually. It's the first, like, controversial one we've had. So, four stone is heavy, isn't it? Yeah. It's fake news. Well done. Four stone is like proper heavy, like 8 pounds. Yeah. That would that is fake news. Okay, next two more to go. The next one is the world's first underwater golf course opens. Bored of the same old golf courses and driving ranges? Well, how is that to tee off underwater? Real news, fake news. They're like, all the scientists in the room are like, what is going on? Okay, are you moving? You look like you're about to move. Yeah, you've got time to waver. Come on, quick decision. And you're saying the physics doesn't work? Are you sure about this? It is fake news! Well done, it is fake news. Underwater golf course. Okay, the last one, the final one. Okay. So far, you've done all right so far, but that one, we had the minority were right, so well done, minority. Last one is, I don't know, I hate to say that word, but a penguin breaks into a family home. So a family in Peru got a shock after a penguin found its way inside their home. The penguin is believed to have been on the search for food. Real? Fake. Okay, we've got a faker. We've got a last minute mover. Okay. Are you moving as well? Wow, yes, that's a second. Twice you've moved. You did get it right the first time. Well done. How did you get it right this time? Okay. So you guys think it's real? I heard somebody talking about rainforest or something. What were you saying? It is Peru, yeah?
Environment for penguins.
What about zoos? It's real news! Well done, I'm very sorry, real news. That's twice, well done. Come and take a seat. You've done very well with that, very good. This is just what I've got online, so don't blame me. I'm sure that's all correct. maybe I could be doing fake news. It's all completely false. I'm just messing with your heads. I don't know, no. I'm hoping that's as reliable as a BBC quiz that I found online. Okay. So this morning, we're talking all about the whole principle of teaching. And the reason we've done that is to get us thinking about what we can and can't believe. Now, in society, there's loads of stuff that's thrown at us. And there's always, quite often, questions is, can we believe that? And we're in a society, we're in a generation, particularly kind of young people are in a generation of questioning things. Like, is that right? Do we believe that? Some stuff which maybe older generation would have just believed, it's not so much the case now. We question things and we want to know the logic behind it. And this morning, as we're doing this whole thing of why church, we're going to be thinking about one thing that I believe that we can trust and we should trust is this thing we call the Bible. Okay, so we're talking about the Bible this morning, and I suppose giving a bit of a reason why I think we should be trusting it and why we can trust it. Okay, so this morning, can anybody remember our key scripture? I want to shout it out loud for us, the one that we did with the balloons. They? Well, we're all doing it together. Great. Well done. Fantastic. I mean, I only had the first bit, so you've done much better than me. So they devoted themselves, particularly this morning we're thinking about the bit where they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. Now, when we think about Acts 2, the context of Acts 2 is we're talking about the very first church. So this is after Jesus has gone back to ascending back up to heaven. This is the very first church that we kind of know of being a church, of kind of a gathered space of Christians, so to speak. And in the early church, these apostles were really important people because they were people of authority. They were people who people listened to. So when it talks about they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, that meant they trusted the words that the apostles were saying. They trusted the things that the apostles were teaching them. They recognized their authority and they were bringing stuff from the word of God. Now, when we think about the Bible, when we think about teaching, it's really important that and this might sound like a really obvious statement to say, but it's really important that when we're thinking about teaching in the Bible, that all teaching is biblical based. Okay, because I could come this morning and I could say a whole load of stuff, which could be fantastic and great, but if it's not grounded in the Bible, then it doesn't make a difference. And actually, what I'm saying isn't with authority. Now, in another verse, a couple of verses in the Bible, in 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17, it says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so a servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So what does this mean? The first thing it means is that it is... when it talks about the God, scripture is God breathed, that means it's from God and it's completely reliable. When we say all scripture, we mean everything that is in this book is from God, from the words of God, from the mouth of God. Yeah, it was written by men and women, so kind of all the words have been written by men and women, but we believe they've been God inspired, and that actually that when they were writing them, it was because God had inspired them to write these things down. So that's a really important thing to remember. We can know, and I believe we can be assured this morning, that the Bible isn't fake news. The Bible is reliable, is good news, and it is real for us, and it's as real for us today as it was when it was written 2,000 or so years ago. The next thing we need to know, it is useful. Now, I love the Bible. There's so much in there. There's so many things that we can find out about. And actually, if you want to find out about the big questions in life, for argument's sake, is there a God? Why are we on this planet? Why is there death and suffering? How do I know wrong from right? We can find those answers in this book. We can find this kind of stuff in this book. And actually, maybe some of your more everyday questions. How do I relate to my mates? How do I manage my money? How do I deal with my emotions? How do I overcome temptation? Again, it's in here. And it's stuff that we should be looking at for our day-to-day life to help us to be able to navigate the challenges of life, to navigate every single kind of situation that we go through in life. I'm somebody that, if I'm at home, I'm not very good at kind of DIY. Don't get me too near DIY stuff, okay? But when we moved into our house a few years ago, one thing we did is we did a shop to the dreaded place that everybody loves to hate, to IKEA, okay? I went to IKEA. I can't stand IKEA. My wife loves IKEA. And we brought loads of flat pack furniture, okay? Now, at the time, my wife was like properly pregnant, like literally about a week or two before having our little boy. So she got out of doing the flat pack furniture, and I had to do it all, okay? Now, I'm the kind of person who has to follow it step by step by step. Otherwise, there'll be a wardrobe door on like a kitchen unit or something, and it's all going to be kind of going completely wrong. And I have to do it kind of step by step by step. And actually, it's similar for the Bible first. When you read the Bible, it's got instructions about how we should be living our life. And if we follow this step by step, if we follow it as it says, then actually, for me, I don't think we can go far wrong. I think it's the most effective way that we can live our life, by following the Bible, not just kind of like taking elements of it and taking the stuff we like and doing that and the stuff we don't like, ignoring it, but actually following it step by step by step. It's the best instruction that we could follow our life by, I believe, because it's not from men, it's not from men or woman, man or woman, it's from God. And I believe that God is the best kind of instruction we could ever need to follow in our lives. So the important thing is that in this whole thing is the only way we're going to get to know this stuff is by reading this thing. Okay, is by having this thing as something that we come to on a daily basis. Now, I try and make it a practice of mine of reading the Bible every single day. Even if it's just for like 10, 15 minutes, just something that I try and have as part of my life. Now, some of it I find difficult to read, and other bits of it I absolutely love, and it makes a big difference in my life. But the main point of it is that I make sure that I read it, I try and understand it, I ask questions. If there's some bits which I don't understand or don't even agree with, I ask questions of it. That's okay to do. You haven't got to accept it blindly, but ask questions and begin to kind of find out, what does this mean in my life, in for like my 15, 16, 17-year-olds in 2020? What does that mean in my life? Now, I'm somebody who I love sports. You could get me talking about sports for a long time. I grew up as a bit of a football nut, so kind of like these kids you see running off. I'd be out there right now playing football, trying to duck out of meetings, that kind of thing. I kind of, as I got a bit older, I got into other sports, so I really enjoy now. I do a bit of swimming, I do a bit of running, I play a bit of tennis. I'm too old now for football, so I've retired football now. But I still love sports, I love watching sports, I love playing sports. And one thing I said I'd do before, and over the last few years, I've started getting more and more into is running. I really enjoy running. I've done a couple of half marathons. It's just something I like to do in my spare time. And I'm a regular at my Saturday morning park run. Has anybody heard of park run before? Okay, come on, yeah, okay. So I live in South Birmingham, and there's a park not too far from me called Cannon Hill Park. And every Saturday morning, I've missed this one, unfortunately, for you guys. That's how much I'm here for you all. I do this thing called park run. It's 5K, time 5K. And there's this guy who takes pictures of us, and this is a picture of me doing park run recently. I don't know who that lady is. I'm about to overtake her, I hope. But that's me doing park run on a Saturday morning. And it's a 5K, so 3 miles or so, and it's timed. So it's against the clock, and every single week you're kind of trying to beat your PB. There's kind of, the one I go to, anywhere between 700 to 1,000 runners. So it's super popular every single week. Now, my personal best currently for park run is 21 minutes and 9 seconds. Okay, so it's not bad. It's not bad. And I'm trying to, one of the goals I set myself at the start of 2020 is I'm trying to run under 20 minutes part run. So I've got like a minute and 10 seconds to knock off my time, which sounds like nothing, but it's actually quite a challenge. I find it quite difficult. Now that's a bit of a challenge that I've set myself. Now, I know the only way I'm going to achieve that. Well, there's a few things like the way I'm going to achieve that. The first one is doing more park runs. If I don't turn up for these on a Saturday morning, I'm never ever going to be able to do that. But it's also things like in the week, making sure that I'm doing exercise in the week, making sure that I'm eating right, making sure that I'm kind of just doing more and more runs, basically. And so ultimately, that I'll get to the aim that I'm hoping to get towards. Being intentional about making this goal that I've set myself, being intentional about making it happen. These kind of things generally don't just happen overnight or by accident. There's a bit of an intentionality that you have to put in to making things happen. And when we're taught the Bible, when we are taught things about the Bible, there's a really important thing that we need to think about, is that if we hear these things, excuse me, and don't put them into practice, if we just like, if you listen to me today and just walk away and it makes no difference to your life, or if you read your Bible and kind of that's it and it doesn't make a difference, then it's going to do exactly that. It's not going to make a difference to your life. When we're looking at the Bible and thinking about how we can best engage with the Bible, We need to think about how we can, how that's going to help us in our day-to-day life, and how that's going to help us live out in our day-to-day life. Sorry, I've got something in my throat. Yeah, so thinking about how we can live this thing out, not just live it out, but teach others. So there's another famous scripture in the Bible. You may or may not have heard this, but it says in 1 Timothy 4:12, it says, "Do not let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity." No matter how old we are called to set an example. Now, the emphasis here, the emphasis here is upon young people. So I've got, it's fantastic that I've got a whole group of young people here. And it's talking about how we need to be set an example. Now, if in my running, if in my running I decided that I was going to try my best to get my PB, but I was given advice by people who are more seasoned than me, I kind of read some articles, that kind of stuff, but if I took no notice of that kind of stuff and just did my own thing, then that's just foolishness, isn't it? Because actually, we need to be listening to people who are further on the journey than us and looking for the examples of those around us who maybe are further on than us in any area of our life. And in our walk with God, in our discipleship, in kind of being followers of Jesus, one thing that's really important is that we are not just setting the example, but we're looking at the examples of people around us and those people who maybe are further on the journey than us. Those people who are more mature in their faith than us. And asking the question, in any thing in our life, what sort of example am I setting? So in another verse, in a couple of verses in James 1, verses 23 to 25, it says, "Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he's heard but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does." Very simply, that verse is talking to us about don't forget your reflection. We can hear things. We can be in these kind of weekends away. We can be in Friday night youth group. We can be in church on a Sunday, whatever it looks like for you, and it not make any difference to our life and not affect our Monday to Saturday, our day-to-day stuff when we're in school, when we're in college, when we're with our friends. And for me, actually, that's getting us thinking about when God's speaking to us, we need to remember about what God is saying to us and about how that affects our day-to-day life. So going back to that verse in 1 Timothy 4:12, there's a few ways that you, as young people, and we, as kind of just in any age, are called to set the example. So the first one is in speech. Okay, so the question I'm going to ask you is, our words. How are we using our words? Now, I'm not just talking about when we're here at a youth weekend away, when we're, you know, around the people that we know from kind of this group, but when we're at school every single day, when we're at home with our parents, when we're with our friends who necessarily aren't involved in this, do we use our speech to tear others up? To build others up, or to tear people down? Do we gossip? Do we swear? Are we respectful about others? Are you kind to people? There's a whole movement at the minute, isn't there, after the back of kind of the whole Caroline Flack thing, about like being kind to one another. Like, there's so many times that we just tear others down with our speech without even realizing it. Let's use our words to be kind to other people. James 3, verses 9 and 10 says, "With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who were made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing." My brothers, this should not be. And then Proverbs 18:21 says, "The tongue has the power of life and death." So this morning, I want to encourage us all to use our tongue, to use our speech for life. Okay, the next one carries on really nicely, is in life. Okay, so in life, set the example. So the question I've got is, how do you conduct yourself? Does your life match up to maybe what God is asking you to do? Do you act differently when you're around different sets of people, when you're around different groups of people? Is Do you maybe act differently around your friends at school to the way you act here with the group of people here? I'm talking particularly to those in the room now who would call themselves Christians, who would call themselves followers of Jesus. You can't kid God, okay? You cannot kid God. You cannot pretend to be one thing in church and another thing with your non-Christian friends. And I'm really of the opinion of, actually, we need to get to a stage where we're all in. Every single area of our life is kind of given over to Him. And for those maybe who are on your journey and still find out what that looks like, kind of what faith looks like, this is what we believe as Christians, that actually it's not just a Friday thing or a Sunday thing or something we do once a weekend every year. It's day to day, it's daily, it's in our everyday life that we try to live this thing called church and faith out. Matthew 5 verse 16 says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Okay, a couple more. The next one was in love. So, very simply, are you a person of love? Are you a person who shows love? Now, when I talk about love, I'm not talking about the romantic side of love. Of course, that's a great thing. But I'm talking about just showing care and love and compassion to your fellow person, old, young, anywhere in between. We need to show love to all people we come into contact with. Do you genuinely care for people around you? Now, there's care, like, oh, how are you doing? I hope, are you okay? And there's genuine care, like actually going above and beyond, showing somebody kind of a greater love and compassion than maybe you would normally. And actually, do you know what? It's really easy. It's really easy for me to love people I like. My friends, my family, people that I choose to do life with. It's really easy to do that. It's harder to love people who wind me up, to love people who disagree with me, to love people who have maybe wronged me or been a bit nasty to me in the past. That's much harder. But actually, I try, don't always get it right, okay? I try my hardest to love every single person, no matter who they are, no matter whether I agree with them or not, no matter whether they like me particularly or not. I try and show love to every single person, every single circumstance. That's the challenge for you, is actually, it's easy to love your mates, yeah. For the people maybe you struggle with a little bit more, who or maybe have wronged you, how do you show love to them? John 13, verses 34 to 35 says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." The next one, a couple more, and then we'll get into discussions, is in faith. So, very simply, I really believe that we as any age range, but as people who are followers of Jesus, we should be acting in faith, stepping out in faith on a day-to-day basis. Now, that might be very simple or something maybe on the surface a bit simpler, like telling somebody that you're a Christian, telling somebody that you love Jesus. That's quite, sometimes it's quite an act of faith, actually, to be able to do that. It might be something bigger or something, not bigger, but something different, like, for argument's sake, offering to pray for somebody you don't know. That's a big step of faith. Kind of showing love and compassion to somebody who has wronged you, that's a step of faith. Actually doing something that's against the grain or against the status quo, because God has told you to do that, stepping out in faith. Hebrews 11 verse 1, it says, it kind of explains a little bit what faith is. It says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." Being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is, it sounds like I could talk about faith like really easily, but operating in faith is not easy. Because we're taught logic, aren't we? We're taught to question everything. And why are you doing this thing you can't see? Why are you honoring and obeying this thing you can't maybe hear? That kind of stuff is a difficult thing to navigate. But why? It's because, you know what? I passionately believe in God. I passionately believe that God has spoken to me, that He meets me where I'm at, that He's answered prayers. That's why we do this kind of thing. And what is it that you hope for is a question I've got here. What do you wish to see take place in your lifetime with your generation, with your friends? Take a step of faith out, see that thing happen. And finally, in purity. Now, when we think of purity, We often think of sexual purity, and that is a part of this, of course it is, but it's not the only part of it, it's not the only thing we talk about. We're called to live a life free from evil, free from wickedness, free from the stuff that we would call and class as sin. That's a big part of what we talk about. And we're looking towards moral purity, so like living lives that are morally upright, that are morally, and by the standards of the Bible, that they kind of agree and go along with that. And our goal in life is that we pursue all that God has for us and all that God wants for us. It says in Philippians 4 verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So set an example in purity. Now, I've been involved in youth work for 12, 13 years now. Kind of ever since I've been 18, I've been involved in youth work. And I know that often, as kind of teenagers, society looks down its nose on you. Even sometimes, and I see this happen loads, churches can look down upon younger people. Not just actually kind of teenagers, kind of even in your young adults, that happens quite often. This scripture in 1 Timothy, that's the antidote to that. Because actually, if you set the example, it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter. Age is only a number. If you set the example in any area of your life, people are going to step up and take notice in that. And I suppose I want to implore you all, as teenagers, as young people, step up into what God has for you now. Don't wait until you get to your 20s, your 30s, your 40s. Set the example now, because I really believe that this world is going to be changed by young people who are standing up and making themselves counted. Think of the most famous teenager in the world right now. Who is it? Greta, I don't know how to say her. Thunberg, yeah? And the reason she's the most famous teenager in the world is because she's standing up for something. And I think people, it's not just because of a teenager, but I think there's a big reason. It's because actually they see somebody, a teenager, standing up and saying, no, I'm not accepting this. I'm not going to have this for my generation, for my children, my children's children. I'm not going to have that now. And actually, that makes people like me and people older think, man, we need to do something for these kids, for these young people, for my little boy. I want to make sure the world's a better place for my little boy than it has been for me. And that only happens by me making decisions that are going to change things. So when we're thinking about faith, when we're thinking about life, how can we, as young people, you as young people, make a difference in your day-to-day lives and walk into all that God has for you? Okay, great. Thank you so much for listening. I think we're going to be going into small groups now. Is there some sort of way we're organising that? Got a list? Cool. Okay, great. So, yeah.
Right, thanks, Jamie. That's really interesting and gives us a lot to think about. So, have you got some questions for us? Yeah. So, if I tell you what group you're going to be in, and have you got them on bits of paper? Do I need to take a picture of it? Yeah, all right then. So, group one, if you listen, is Evelyn and Adam are leading it. And in your group, you've got Matt Clayton, Joel, Abby,